This conflict between instincts and the intellect causes them fear and guilt. This is something with which the Pleiadians, as evolved as they are still struggling. Their feelings of fear and guilt are not the same as yours, but similar. When we say the Pleiadians are more evolved than you, we mean two things. First, they are more intellectually developed. They use about 50% more of their brains than you. Their more highly developed right brain also makes them more intuitive, creative, and psychic than you. As you can imagine, their expanded intellectual capacity enhances their ability to survive. In fact, survival is not an issue for them. They have developed technology that supports their physical needs without damaging their resources. Consequently, everyone in their society has their basic needs met with a minimum of effort, allowing time and energy for other things. The Pleiadians have occupations like you, but they are occupations of choice, not of necessity. Everyone is asked to give something to society. There are no restrictions or limitations on how this is done. The only criteria is that one's work contributes to society. Disputes about this are rare, since the Pleiadians have clearly defined social values and goals, another reflection of their evolvement. As your brain capacity expands, you too can look forward to expanded intellectual powers and harmonious relationships. Your race is likely to make substantial intellectual strides over the next century, so much so that your civilization will not look the same by the end of the 21st century. This should not surprise you, given the changes you have seen in this century. However, those in the next will be even more profound. Even your physical appearance will change as certain mutations occur and advances are made in genetic engineering, cosmetic surgery, and medicine. Such a marked change in appearance is something your race has not experienced since its beginning and infancy. Pleiadians are also more evolved than you spiritually, which has emotional and social ramifications as well. As a result, they are more detached from their egos and their emotions. They still have them, but they are not ruled by them but by their higher self. They are aligned with the aspect of themselves that knows God, and they make their choices from that aspect rather than from their ego self. In their race, the ego has degenerated, at least this is how it seems from your perspective. What has happened to the ego in their society is similar to what has happened to the instincts in yours. The ego has become something that is useful but not that relevant. They view the ego as a remnant of their more atavistic self, which they honor but which they recognize is not their true self. Most people, on the other hand, still believe they are their egos and only occasionally recognize the God self. Because the Pleiadians have a different relationship to their egos, they have a different relationship to each other. This also affects their social systems. The ego is what pits one person against each other. When the ego is recognized for what it is, competition gives way to cooperation. Competition cannot exist when people know the truth about who they are. The Pleiadians know that everyone comes from one source. Moreover, they have experienced that source, so they can't help but follow the golden rule. Can you imagine a society that lives by the golden rule? Such a blessed state is hard to imagine, but try, since that is the state to which you are evolving. That is what you have to look forward to in your future societies. Not that everything will be perfect. Utopia doesn't exist, not on the physical plane, anyway, although the planes beyond the physical come closer and closer to perfection. Still, perfection is neither the state of the physical nor the non-physical universe. Change and evolution is, and perfection is too static a concept to fit this scheme. Perfection implies an end point, and evolution and creation have none. The Pleiadians are not a perfect society. They have their problems. Their discomfort with conflict and pain is their biggest one. This includes discomfort with their own negative feelings, which they are not beyond having. The Pleiadians go to great lengths to avoid negativity, even to the point of stifling creativity. For example, if a Pleiadian has plans for inventing a new vehicle, he will have to submit them to a committee for approval. He will have to show that it will benefit society and how he will counteract any harm it might create. However, all this must be based on figures, since the invention cannot be built without the committee's approval. If it turns out different from what was presented to the committee, it will have to be re-evaluated. If it doesn't pass the committee's standards, it will be scrapped and the inventor will have lost whatever time and effort he invested in it. If your society had such a committee, it would have rejected the Wright brothers' work and every other 20th century invention because of their potential to damage the environment. As a result, you would not have evolved technologically. This is what has happened in Pleiadian society. They have made minute strides in science and technology compared to other societies at their same level. This doesn't bother most of the Pleiadians. Most agree they prefer a society that puts social welfare above technological progress. Still, there is another problem with this. In not allowing themselves to be challenged by questionable enterprises, the Pleiadians have eliminated many of the factors that stimulate personal and spiritual growth. They have all but eliminated the negative pole. Although their society may seem advanced spiritually, it is not as advanced as it could be. By avoiding the challenges that come with a free society, they have stunted even their spiritual growth. The Pleiadians are learning to balance individual freedom with the good of society. Right now, the good of society is emphasized. Many other societies have erred in the opposite direction yours, for example. Eventually, the Pleiadians will shift more to the other pole. They are striving to do this, but morally such freedom is still repugnant to them. In every society, evolution is born from this struggle between the individual and society. But evolution happens much more slowly in a society that emphasizes society's welfare over individual freedom. Maybe you are thinking that it would have been better if there had been no technological development in the 20th century, given the destruction it has caused the Earth and native peoples. What this point of view does not acknowledge is that you are learning an important lesson by facing the results of your actions. What you are learning now will prevent you from ever making this mistake again in your future lives. You will get through this period, the Earth will be restored, and because of what you have learned, you will build a more humane society with more humane technology. If you had never made these choices, you would not have had the opportunity to learn this valuable lesson and move beyond this stage in your growth. Preventing you from making these choices would have kept you from evolving beyond them. You would have remained stuck at a certain level of evolution. This is what has happened to the Pleiadians. They recognize this now and are challenged to change. Their choice also led to learning, but it slowed their evolution as well. Pleiadians look like you, at least those of you who are Caucasian. This should not be surprising, when you consider your origins and Pleiadian history. Pleiadians are Lyrans with early Earth primate genes, and you are a combination of Lyran and early Earth primate genes as well. You are more diversified in appearance than Pleiadians because of the mixing of Sirian and other genes into your species as it evolved. This, in addition to adapting to a variety of climates, created your races. If you saw a Pleiadian, you would never guess that he or she was not from Earth. This is why they have been chosen to introduce the extraterrestrial situation to you when the time is right. One way Pleiadians are different from you is that they are all attractive. This is because they have evolved beyond the need to experience being unattractive, something that serves an important function early in a species' evolution. Being unattractive teaches compassion for physical differences and the superficiality of outer beauty. Once these lessons are learned, a species no longer needs to be born into unattractive bodies, or ones a society considers unattractive. Despite their attractiveness, Pleiadians do not all look alike. Their population has as much variation as any of your races. Pleiadians in some respects are your future selves. They have represented one of your probable futures biologically and spiritually, but so far not socially and emotionally. You and the Pleiadians have taken separate paths emotionally. You are open to conflict and pain, and acknowledge your negative emotions, while they do not or have not. Therefore, you have been developing differently emotionally. Given that the Pleiadians are acknowledging their negativity more, your future and theirs, emotionally and socially, are likely to be more similar. The Pleiadians will play a crucial role in introducing you to the extraterrestrial mission. Because they look like human beings, they are best suited to approach your government and others with the extraterrestrials' offer of help. The drawback of this plan is that the Pleiadians may not be believed, since they look like ordinary human beings. If this happens, other proof has been arranged. What's important to the extraterrestrials is that they not send you into a panic or cause a war. They realize that the stranger they look, the greater the likelihood of a negative outcome. The Pleiadians have been monitoring Earth from a large mothercraft, which has been circling Earth for millennia. This mothercraft is not visible to you because it is in outer space and can avoid satellite and other detection by shifting out of third dimension. Avoiding your detection is no challenge for them. On this mothercraft are hundreds of Pleiadians, all with specific tasks pertaining to their terrestrial mission. This mission consists of helping you make the transition from third to fourth density, with everything this entails. The Pleiadians are especially skilled at negotiation and peacemaking, which is another reason they will be the ones to approach you. They will offer you their mediation skills. The Pleiadians are also pledged to help the Zetas in their genetic work. They are not guiding the Zetas' work, only helping them out as needed and following their directions. Most human-looking beings spotted by human beings on spacecraft during abductions are Pleiadian helpers, although sometimes an actual human being, usually a star person or a walk-in, also is aboard to help. While they are sleeping, star people and walk-ins are often drafted to help the extraterrestrials. Star people and walk-ins come aboard the spacecraft in their astral form, which appears solid to abductees under these conditions. Many of the abductees are also taken aboard spacecraft in their astral forms rather than in their physical bodies. This accounts in part for their not being able to recall their extraterrestrial encounters. The Zetas are also being helped by a variety of other extraterrestrials not described in these pages. From all over the universe, the Zetas have gathered the expertise they need to accomplish their complex and demanding task. This explains the diversity of extraterrestrial life forms reported by abductees. This is no different from you assembling the best scientific minds from around the world to work on a specific project. You don't work this way yet, but when you do, science will make tremendous leaps. It is ironic that science has been used to defend yourselves from each other when its real value lies in uniting and improving the world for everyone. The Pleiadians are operating from a central command station, on their mothercraft, called the Ashtar Command. One of them is Commander Hatton. Hatton has been in communication with several channels for some time. However, a group of negative Syrians are impersonating Hatton, which has caused much confusion. This Hatton impersonator is spreading a message of fear and doom through written materials he has dictated. This is typical of the negative extraterrestrials' activities. Their primary purpose is to undermine faith in your government and hasten the decline they believe is inevitable. This imposter has dictated a large body of information that describes conspiracy, economic decline, and the destruction of your planet. We and the positive, service to others, extraterrestrials do not hold his views on conspiracy and doom, although you are coming very close to destroying yourselves. The idea that a worldwide conspiracy exists that is both diabolical and invincible is an idea that only self-servers would cook up and only service-to-selfer planets have ever managed to manifest. This is one of their favorite ploys. They have used it on other planets throughout their history, and now they are using it on you. Fortunately, it rarely works because self-servers lack the organization, not to mention the numbers, to imprison races with these ideas. This plot has only been successful on service-to-self planets, not on ones that have as many servers as yours. For as difficult and ugly as life gets on your planet, Earth is a heaven compared to the hell of a service-to-self planet. The service-to-self extraterrestrials are trying to undermine your confidence in your government and in your future. This is a clever move because there is reason to doubt your government and your future. This is what makes their work so insidious. They are saying the same thing we are, that the world is in dire straits. The major difference is in how they are saying it, what they see as the outcome, and why they are saying it. Their messages are designed to instill fear and a sense of powerlessness. They hope to shock, frighten, and paralyze you, all under the guise of trying to help and mobilize you. However, underneath their words is the clear message, you don't have a chance. Fortunately, once you understand the difference in communication styles between negative and positive extraterrestrials are easy to spot. Do you feel frightened, shocked, and overwhelmed by the message? Do you feel it is too late, that the powers of destruction are too great? Is there a tone of dogmatism in the message? For instance, do they claim to have the truth and demand that you accept it or else? These are all signs of service to self. You also can tell whether a message is from a positive or a negative source by how it makes you feel. Messages from negative extraterrestrials leave you feeling bad. Granted, you may not feel uplifted by everything we are saying, but our message as a whole is hopeful. Besides, we don't demand that you accept it. You should come away from an extraterrestrial message feeling hopeful and inspired to take positive action. Messages from negative extraterrestrials give you no positive course to follow. They suggest you save yourself, build bomb shelters, protect your money supply, store food and water. How like self-servers to emphasize what you can do to save yourself rather than what you can do to help the world or others. Here again, this information is insidious because being prepared for food and clean water shortages, we do not foresee nuclear holocaust, as they do, is not unwise. However, to emphasize this as a course of action is to encourage you to withdraw your energy from doing something to solve your problems. This is what they want you to do. They don't want you to work together to solve the problems plaguing Earth. They want you looking out for number one. They know that will hasten your downfall. How ironic that they don't see how looking out for number one is causing their own downfall. The Pleiadians and others are observing the negative extraterrestrials' tactics without interfering with them or countering them. This might seem odd to you, but they believe in allowing individuals to operate freely so that learning can take place on both sides. The negative extraterrestrials will not learn from their mistakes if they are not allowed to make them, and neither will you. In this free will universe governed by polarities, such activities are allowed, at least for a time. The positive extraterrestrials will allow the negatives to continue as long as the negatives don't upset the positives' plan. As it is, they are merely causing some confusion and fear. One of your biggest lessons during these times will be discernment. You will need to learn to tell the difference between self-servers and servers. With a little education and a general increase in intuition, most will no longer fall prey to self-servers. This will lessen their activities on your planet and eventually lead to their withdrawal, since they will no longer find it useful to reincarnate on Earth. Self-servers evolve most quickly on service to self-planets, where they can best learn the tricks of the trade and experience the negative consequences of their actions. Earth has always had a service to self element. By playing the role of evil on your planet, self-servers have helped Earth evolve. In personifying your shadow, the negative within each of you, they are helping you integrate your shadow. As Earth moves into fourth density, you will no longer need such a personification. Although the shadow, or negativity, still exists in fourth density, it will be experienced mostly on internal levels, not acted out. As fourth density beings, you will still feel drawn to serving yourselves at times, but you will act less frequently on these urges and less harmfully than earlier. In fourth density, you will feel less of a desire to serve yourself because you will have more of recognition of who you are serving when you serve others. It is yourself. The Pleiadians are a peaceful race. They will be your peace ambassadors and teachers. They will show you how a society, indeed, a world can run smoothly while still honoring its members' differences. This is not an insignificant lesson. Much of the misery on Earth has been caused by one group trying to convince another of its point of view. People on Earth have not learned to coexist with different points of view yet. That is what you will be learning from the Pleiadians. Your hierarchical attitudes are part of the problem. You act as if only one way of living and thinking is correct. Your religions are partly responsible for this. Think about how this attitude has affected your relationships. It has reinforced the ego and kept you from loving each other. Now you will learn a new way to structure your perceptions and your societies. This way is non-hierarchical and democratic. This, after all, is what the New Age is about. It is about tolerance, diversity, and equality. How will you move from hierarchy to equality and cooperation? By changing your belief system. Your society will change as your philosophy changes, which will not be possible except through a change in consciousness. As consciousness changes, so will philosophy and so will your relationships and social structures. A new age is near, a golden age. We are here to see that this transition occurs as smoothly as possible. The Pleiadians will help you form this philosophy. They are experts at creating social systems that allow diversity, tolerance, and equality. The Pleiadians have always tried to teach you about peace, but you have not been inclined to listen. With the shift in consciousness, this will change. When it does, your world will be revolutionized. Much has been said about a world government by others, much of it controversial. What would a world government mean? Would it mean that Big Brother has come at last? Under your current consciousness, perhaps. However, that is changing. Once enough of you have shifted consciousness, the Pleiadians will help you set up a new world order that is fair, democratic, compassionate, and non-hierarchical. This is possible, and with the Pleiadians' help, probable. Chapter 3: The Syrians. Already quite a bit has been said about the Syrians, since they played such a pivotal role in the human race's early development. They are still involved in your world today. The Syrians are guiding you through your intuition and dreams, through channeling, and through visions. Visions are the most direct way they have been involved with you lately, since they do not materialize or walk among you in physical bodies any longer. There are some reincarnated Syrians among you, but none in materialized bodies. The Syrians do not have physical bodies, although they can materialize them if they want. As fifth density beings and beyond, they function beyond matter. This has always been so, and one reason they have seemed like gods to you. You saw them materialize and dematerialize before you, something you assumed only a god could do. In addition, many of the forms they took were brilliant, beautiful, and light-filled, making them all the more godlike. Occasionally, they still appear as beautiful light beings or angels. Your ancient representations of these light beings had wings to symbolize their ability to appear, disappear, and move through the air. However, they did not appear to you with wings at first. Only later did they sometimes have wings, in keeping with your image of them. Thus, angels with wings became part of your mythology. But they did not always appear as angels. The form they took depended on who they were appearing to and why. Although other extraterrestrials also appeared in visions as various characters and as angels, this role fell largely to the Syrians because they were the ones most involved in the human race's development and evolution. The Syrians acted as teachers and guides more than any other group, although others often helped them. Syrians have been particularly involved in your religious rites and religious societies, including all the mystery schools. In earlier days, religion was at the center of society. From religion came the ethics that helped societies cohere and function. Laws evolved from these ethics, as did customs, rituals, and traditions. The religious leaders that headed society received guidance directly from the Syrians, so shamans and priests served as bridges between the unseen world of the gods, the Syrians, and the physical world of their own kinsmen. Sometimes these religious leaders were even reincarnated Syrians. Societies have always had members who could communicate with or channel these realms, and the Syrians made good use of them. This continues today, of course. The Syrians described so far were positive, or at least they intended to serve you even if they sometimes fell short. However, throughout history, there has been another Syrian influence on your planet that has not been so positive. service to self Syrians, negative Syrians, have played the role of Satan and evil on your planet, with the help of some others. Like the positive Syrians, the negative Syrians have materialized and dematerialized as well as reincarnated among you. And through channeling and other psychic means, they have delivered their own version of truth. Circles of black magicians and secret societies with service to self-intentions formed around these negative Syrians. Then and even now, telling the white magicians from the black has not always been easy, since some black magicians claim to be white. This should be no surprise. Self-servers have always been willing to do anything to accomplish their goals. That is their credo, whatever it takes. As a result, many unsuspecting and well-meaning people have been used by service to self groups without ever realizing it. The leaders of these groups count on drawing in trusting people whom they can manipulate for their own ends. Many of these unsuspecting people never discover they have been deceived. One reason they are successful is that these circles are sworn to keep their activities secret. Secrecy keeps these circles free of outside influence and interference. They claim secrecy protects the sacred rituals, the same reason white magicians or mystery schools keep their activities and teachings secret. Unfortunately, while this secrecy protects sacred teachings from getting into the wrong hands, it also protects self-servers who already have their hands on the teachings from being scrutinized. So the name of Sirius has been implicated in both white and black magic throughout history. The line between the two has sometimes been very thin. This is not because the teachings are not clear about the difference between black and white magic, but because the members of the mystery schools and white magic circles haven't always lived up to the principles of these circles. They have been corrupted by members who have acted like black magicians, and by black magicians posing as white magicians to lure people into their circles. The study of esoterica can be treacherous waters. You are probably wondering what was taught in these secret societies and how this relates to the Syrians. The Syrians founded the mystery schools, which were initially headed and run by Syrians. The mystery schools taught the human race's origin and the origin of the gods. They also were the means by which new information was introduced to society. Information the Syrians decided was necessary and timely for a society would be given within the mystery schools and then dispensed to appropriate individuals within society. For instance, if the Syrians decided a civilization could have a certain mathematical formula, it would be introduced either through dreams, channeling, a vision, or other psychic means to someone within the mystery school who had either been trained by the mystery school to receive psychic communication or invited in because of this talent. Then this information would be brought to the attention of others in the mystery school who knew who to relay it to people outside of the mystery school. So you could think of mystery schools as the think tanks of bygone days. They came up with the ideas that propelled society to new levels scientifically, mathematically, linguistically, architecturally, agriculturally, and in every conceivable way. The mystery schools served, like shamans and priests, as a bridge between the seen and unseen worlds. The Syrians created one set of religious teachings for mystery school initiates and another for the rest of the population. So two distinct forms of religion developed, the esoteric and the exoteric. These two forms were necessary, as the Syrians saw it, to accommodate vastly different levels of understanding. Most of the people on Earth then were at a primitive stage in their evolution, while a few were evolved way beyond them. Those who were more evolved were primarily Syrians and others reincarnated to guide humanity, star people and walk-ins. These were the gods incarnate, or at the very least their helpers. In the mystery schools, they were taught about their origins and their mission, and shown how to regain and further develop their psychic abilities. Everyone in the mystery schools was potentially psychic, but not everyone was developed. Consequently, the mystery schools came to be known as a place where the psychic arts were taught. While this was going on inside the mystery schools, those outside were being taught a religious system designed for them by the Syrians to serve the Syrians' goals. For instance, the Syrians needed to instill in people the importance of obedience, since the Syrians' effectiveness depended on people's willingness to follow their teachings. So they created a hierarchical model of the universe headed by an authoritarian god, Jehovah.